biggest misconception on the end user, consumer or gamer front is that somehow we're out there to destroy the gaming experience and everything else. But I think if gamers really knew the kind of pressures that the publishing sector is undergoing currently, and the fact that, that there is a need for new revenue streams, that so long as in-game advertising is handled in a sensitive manner, then it's good for both publishers and brands and the game consumers as well.
For PodTech.net, I'm Rio Pacino. Advertisements in video games are more common than ever. Static ads and product placements can be found in most games, whether it's a basketball player wearing a pair of Nike shoes on NBA 2K6 or a Sprite ad on a soda machine in Splinter Cell. Now, advertisers are starting to use a new method of getting products into games. Dynamic advertising allows ads in games to be updated over time with systems connected to the internet. In-game ad firms IGA Worldwide and Massive recently signed separate deals with Electronic Arts to provide dynamic ads in EA games. I had a chance to speak with IGA CEO Justin Townsend about the deal and what kind of impact dynamic in-game ads will have on the gaming market. Justin, go ahead and give me some background on what IGA Worldwide is and how it got started.
Certainly can do. IGA Worldwide is what we endearingly call a next-generation media network. And what we do basically is we dynamically serve ads into games. Up until now, ads have been placed statically into games, meaning that they have to be hardcore programmed into the game itself in the development lifecycle. What we do is we place a piece of technology inside a game now. The game gets retailed, gets installed by the end user, then communicates back with our server farm, and that allows us then the ability to actually serve ads over the internet into the gaming environment. An example would be a racing game or a soccer game or a football game. And the same way as it is in the real world where you see ads around the side of a football pitch, it's the same in the gaming environment as well. And that's essentially what we do.
Now, what separates your company from others out there today?
Well, I think first of all, we are now the leading independent in-game advertising network in the space. That's both from a perspective of the reach of our network, which is already reaching millions of end consumers and gamers worldwide. That reach is going to be up to 40 million people in about 12 months from now. The fact that we can serve ads across multiple platforms, including PC, consoles, and mobile devices as well. We have an extremely deep advertising and publishing expertise across our company as well, and a very, very strong leading-edge technology, which really sets us far apart from any competition out there.
Will gamers have the option of not downloading updated ads?
Okay, the gamer won't actually be involved in the actual signing up to or disagreeing with the delivery of ads itself. That's all part of what's called the EULA agreement, the end user license agreement, that any gamer has to sign off when they actually buy and install a game for the first time.
Okay.
Having said that, you're always going to have a very vocal, hardcore community of gamers that are anti-advertising, full stop, let alone anti-advertising in games. What our research shows, and research that we've seen from other third parties, is that so long as the ads are contextually relevant to the gaming experience, that, and of course, so long as the ads enhance the gaming experience, that gamers actually find it a plus, because it enhances the whole concept of the reality within which they're playing. So I think what a gamer has to bear in mind is that right now the cost of any blockbuster game to be produced is around about $10 million. With the next generation of consoles that are coming out, it's expected that the cost of game development will go up threefold, up to $30 million. The only way for a game publisher to generate money and revenue is to retail that game at $50 or $60. There is no headroom for a further increase in the price of games. Consumers wouldn't swallow that anyway, so what publishers have to find is a new way of generating revenue. As such, advertising in games delivers upon that need, and so long as the ads are contextually relevant and support the gaming environment and the whole gaming experience, there really shouldn't be any issues for gamers.
I'm a gamer myself, and I tend to agree with your statement when it comes to contextual advertising, especially in sports games. I mean, it adds a lot of realism to the game when you see legit ads into, say, a Madden 07, or there have also been some cases where the advertising is just blatant. For instance, with Fight Night Round 3, you got the Burger King mascot as your trainer, and I think that was, in my opinion, going a bit too far.
And I'd like to stress at this stage that I'm also a gamer myself. I'm not just sitting in some white-walled office somewhere,
right.
Just in a suit and tie. I game a hell of a lot, and I've been gaming for the last 5 or 6 years, and I would deem myself a hardcore gamer as well. So I'm very sensitive as to the kind of ads that should or shouldn't be in games. What you'd never see us doing, for example, is putting ads on the side of a castle wall in a fantasy game either. I think in the early days of ads in games, there was a lot of experimenting. But at the end of the day, if you take a big brand like Coke, over the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, they've spent billions and billions of dollars in creating what are called their brand values and communicating that to their audience. A publisher puts millions and millions of dollars into their game IP, into their intellectual property. We as IGA Worldwide try and position ourselves as both the stewards of the IP of the brand and the stewards of the IP of the game. And there's a very, very complex Q&A and control process that we operate internally in line with our publishers and brands to make sure that games don't get wallpapered with ads, and to make sure that the ads are contextually relevant. Because in actual fact, if you wallpaper a game with brands and advertising, it doesn't mean to say that what's called the recall of those ads increases. In actual fact, it probably goes down. So there is a healthy balance considering the amount of advertisers you can have in a game as well.
Justin, what do you think is the biggest misconception with in-game advertising?
From a business perspective, I'd say it's probably that somehow in-game advertising is comparable to internet advertising. Internet advertising is predominantly what's seen in advertising terms as being a transactional model. The whole point of what you're trying to do with internet advertising is get a consumer to get into a transaction or a dialogue with you. The only real commonality that we share with internet advertising is the fact that we use the internet to distribute the ads. Thereafter, it's very, very different. We're probably more akin to TV or billboard advertising, where the whole purpose of that is to communicate a brand image and not to get into a transaction with a consumer. So I'd say that's probably one of the most common misconceptions on the business front. I guess the biggest misconception on the end user, consumer or gamer front is that somehow we're out there to destroy the gaming experience and everything else. But as I've said to you earlier, I think if gamers really knew the kind of pressures that the publishing sector is undergoing currently, and the fact that there is a need for new revenue streams, that so long as in-game advertising is handled in a sensitive manner, then it's good for both publishers and brands and the game consumers as well.
Now, I've read on a number of message boards, heard a number of gamers personally talk about having video game companies lower prices on games that include in-game or dynamic advertising. Do you think that's a realistic idea?
I don't think it's a realistic idea, and I wouldn't condone it at all. One of the things that the gaming industry lacks is an adequate funding model for the production of games. It's very much a hit-driven kind of model, whereby you might produce 7 or 8 games that cost a lot of money to produce, but only 2 or 3 of these might actually turn into big hits. The rest of them you might break even or make a loss on. There is some room for an advertising-supported model in the future, which means that you can get games at very low cost or download for free, but then they're going to be supported by advertising dollars. At the end of the day, there is talk about potential consolidation happening within the publishing industry because there is no adequate funding model for producing games. If you look at the film industry, there are plenty of means of monetizing films beyond purely watching them at the cinema. There are the DVDs that get produced, there are the books that get produced, there's all the merchandise that gets produced. There are multiple revenue streams for films in Hollywood. There are no multiple revenue streams for games. And yet the production cost of games are very, very high indeed. So what do gamers want in the future? Do they want a nice, wide, expanding portfolio of top-quality games that they can pick and choose from? Or would they rather have a much more narrowing portfolio of games, not all of which are going to be high quality? The money to support the gaming industry has to come from somewhere. And I think in the meantime, the advertising revenue that can be provided goes a long way to helping game publishers go through a very difficult transition at the moment.
Yes, and let's go ahead and talk about IGA Worldwide itself. Are there any untapped markets that you guys plan to delve into in the near future?
Oh, yes, but that's not something I can really discuss with you in this podcast at the moment,
okay.
I'm afraid.
All right, well, let's go ahead and talk about the deal you guys signed with Electronic Arts, you and also Massive. What EA games will use IGA's dynamic advertising, and how specifically will it be used?
Okay, well, the first game that I can talk about is Battlefield 2142. I cannot release to you, I'm afraid, what the other two titles are. We are in talks for other franchises as well that EA have in the future. So right now, the only one I can talk about is Battlefield 2142. It's a near-future game. I mean, I'm a big fan of the whole Battlefield series anyway. This is a whole new kind of genre for EA, going slightly futuristic with this Battlefield mode. But again, we saw how Ubisoft did this with Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter. I've played that game, and it's a very sort of near-future, urban, futuristic battle environment. And there were plenty of brands in there, such as Dodge and Cadillac and Axe and so on. And it made the game highly realistic. And it's the same really with Battlefield 2142. You don't have lots of lasers firing about everywhere. It's a near-future game. It's predominantly urban environments. And you'll see a wide variety of different ad formats contextually placed within that game as well.
I think one of the biggest questions out there when this announcement was made, in particular with Battlefield, was what type of ads will we see in this particular game?
Okay, well, if you recall the most recent version of Battlefield 2 on a couple of maps that you played there, there were already some fairly big billboards that were placed inside the game that actually contained the names of the developers and companies that had worked on the development of Battlefield 2. You will see the same predominantly billboard format inside Battlefield 2142, and we're also examining the potential for some video stream in relevant areas as well.
Okay, because a lot of gamers via message board were you know, assuming that we may see, say, a McDonald's ad on a robot or something like that.
Oh, no. That couldn't be further away from the truth. You know, we actually, within the company, we have our own servers. We have our own Battlefield servers up and running as well. Many of the people inside IGA Worldwide play Battlefield, and many of us are gamers as well. And I can assure you that there'll be no McDonald's on the side of futuristic robot-style tanks inside Battlefield 2142. That definitely won't be the case.
Another question I was meaning to ask you in regards to this deal was about Massive. Massive was bought by Microsoft earlier this year. How does this affect your deal with EA in regards to being able to use your ads in Xbox and Xbox 360 EA games?
Yeah. Right now, the deal, obviously, I mean, MSN buying Massive, there was some question mark as to whether the deal between Massive and MSN would be one of exclusivity that would therefore prohibit companies such as IGA Worldwide from serving ads into the Xbox 360. We've recently found out that that's not the case. And that we do anticipate at some point in the near to midterm future that we'll be able to serve ads into the Xbox 360 as well. We also have plans for the Sony PlayStation 3 when that hits the market in November. So being an independent company, we can serve both the PC device, both consoles, and of course mobile devices.
Gamers can expect to see plenty of ads in more video games, whether they like it or not. Dynamic advertising also gives game publishers another revenue stream and advertisers a way to reach the 18 to 34-year-old demographic, a group that statistically favors video games. EA plans to start using dynamic ads in several games for the Xbox 360 and PC platforms this fall. This is Rio Pacino for PodTech.net. For more gaming news, go to www.podtech.net.